Minutes from the our last official meeting, which was in April. If you had a chance to review them, were there any additions or corrections to the minutes as presented?
There's one slight correction. We have there at number 7. Probably the last sentence on there that our CIO, Sean Smith, added that their ARPA funding needed to be spent, which is second on there.
You are correct. Thank you.
Motion been made and seconded to accept the minutes with the corrections. Is there any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. The next order of business is to elect a permanent chair and vice chair for the committee. I was originally going to nominate Brian as chair, but we understand that per county board protocol or rules, ordinance is that because he is chair of a standing committee, he is not eligible to serve as chair for this committee. So at this time, I would open the floor to nominations for a chair for this committee. Motion for John, is there a second?
I would second that.
Is there any further nominations? It's a prize job if anybody wants. Any other nominations? Anyone online have a comment? If not, close the nominations for chair and cast ballot.
Might I ask a question?
For sure.
Are you voting to serve?
Yes, I will. A motion to close the nominations and cast ballot.
A second.
Motion by Randy, second by Sue to close the nominations for chair and cast a unanimous ballot. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. You now need a nomination for vice chair, please. I will tell you, I'm pretty good about that. You can do that.
Yeah, there's a legal requirement for the county. If you're on a committee, standing committee of the board as chair, which the county chair made a change recently, so that took me out of the position. So, but I can't do this legally.
I'll make a motion for Supervisor Bashaw to be vice president.
Yes.
Any other nominations? Any other nominations? If not, I have a motion to close nominations and cast a unanimous ballot for Supervisor Bashaw.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
And a second by Randy. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We move to number 5, which is the discussion of the possible use of ARPA funds for county parks Wi-Fi access. So in your packets, Joe had sent out some maps and some supporting documents. Joe, if you have people that you wanted to specifically speak to certain parts of this.
Yes, I think we'll turn this over to Parks Director Matt Collins.
So the committee, again, I'm Matt Collins, Director of Kenosha County Parks. I appreciate this committee forming, and I appreciate your time to review the packet of information regarding the potential enhancement of broadband in our county park system. A little background since I've been here is we worked directly with Sean Smith, our CIO, to make previous enhancements with the Petrified Springs Park with fiber optic that allowed two main points, one being Wi-Fi that has dramatically improved our guest experience with it. Every single pavilion has public Wi-Fi. Now that we want, people experience the park on 21 and cat videos, no, it's not, it's an enhancement as far as the user experience, especially as we try to have technological. Give some information out about all of our community events, special events, recreational programming, which is mainly free to the community. So has made huge advancements with people having that free Wi-Fi, not only with the pavilion rental, the public beer garden, and then also enhancements to point of sale services and just better communication channels. Another benefit of that is protecting our infrastructure as well within the parks. So by having a reliable fiber broadband service within our county park system, we made a tremendous investment into our county parks over the last decade or so. Within all of our eight county parks, Petrifying Springs Parks, we were able to add security cameras for the entranceway and his ingress egress by the pavilions and parking lots. And even unfortunately, this weekend, I had to be on the phone with the sheriff's department with integrating the cameras to help solve some issues that we have within our. So it's a safety thing and it's protecting our assets, and having that type of infrastructure of broadband helps us have that reliable service and keep our parks a safe community place for our residents. So in front of you, there's three main parks that we want to further enhance with broadband in front of you for this morning. The first being Silver Lake Park. I just ran the numbers. We had in 2022 over 900,000 visitors. It's pretty remarkable, even for myself, to see the continual increase of patronage within Silver Lake Park. What we see a lot of, we have about 1.4 million visitors at Petrified Springs Park, but there's a wave going west as far as people noticing and recognizing our park amenities and infrastructure going west. So Silver Lake is by far the most popular western county park with numerous amenities. I'm sure many of the committee members have been to that park to understand the beachfront area, the soccer fields on the weekends, the multi-use trail network, single track mountain bike trails, just numerous amenities throughout there. So it just behooves us to really have that public Wi-Fi service for all of our park amenities and infrastructure. And it'll truly complement what we already have with our mobile app, where we are able to have end users have on their mobile devices different applications for our special events, as well as mapping infrastructure. So within 10 miles of trails, if you don't know where you are, you're able to use your mobile app, and we have integrated technology with the help of Scott Schutze's division over there for all of our trails be mapped. So you know where you are specifically on all these trails. So the further enhancement of broadband will start to integrate both the technology with the software as much as the hardware components at Silver Lake Park. And then also with that, in our beachfront area, it's not only a revenue generated thing to reduce our tax levy, but it's also again about the guest experience while they're there. So we rent kayaks and canoes, paddle boards. There's a fee basis with a point of sale service. And we have a new concessionaire, Flip Flops, that is able to have food and beverage. All those are enhancements that truly rely on that reliable infrastructure of broadband to make all this work, so we can continue to accommodate our 900,000 plus patrons for both our community, visitors, and everywhere else. So that's one main component of Silver Lake.
Okay, would this be coverage for the entire park then? So that if somebody's using, say, mountain biking and they've got an app on their phone that's, you know, giving them change in elevations, their speed and all that other stuff, will their phone actually be able to use the Wi-Fi, or would they still be using their own personal data?
It would not be, to my knowledge, for the whole entire park.
Okay.
It would be in specific areas similar to what we have at Petrifying Springs Park, where you have a broadcast of available Wi-Fi, but that can only go somewhere.
Okay.
So it's like that sensitivity where you don't want to do too much where you ruin that experience of being out in nature. So you do it within your main hubs of where you know you're going to have that most optimized and utilized areas, such as like maybe a soccer field or our pavilion rentals front area. So we try to capture where we have the main audience. But if you're in the back nine on the mountain bike trail, you'll have to rely on your cell phone.
Yeah, okay.
Is there any other questions on Silver Lake Park with that item, or is I can move on to the next one?
Civil Park, but perhaps the rest. I know it's not, to your point, it's not going to cover everywhere, but if there's areas that previously had issues or vandalism or damage, is that a priority for putting in cameras in addition to the entrances and exits?
Absolutely. It's both of those things. And again, that would be on the county to rely on cameras. It wouldn't be part of this proposal because we cannot use capital expense through ARPA for the actual hardware security cameras. But it gets us to have that connectivity for us to add that hardware, the security cameras. So I want to be clear that that would be a potential add-on that I would like to see in the future through our county budget. But this, with the infrastructure, the broadband, would allow, and you're exactly right, for us to be able to have the cameras in those highly sensitive areas so that our parks operations don't have to keep on having these repeat offenses of graffiti or vandalism or safety issues for people just utilizing the park that they know that there's security cameras, so it makes it some safer for them to be out in the park. So yes, we will identify those critical assets, I'll call them, within our infrastructure. Yeah. So we'll move on to Old Settlers Park. Does everyone know we have a new band shelter over at Old Settlers? We have Rhythm on the Lake. This Thursday, so tonight, go to the concert. I would recommend it. So again, it's our continual growth and expanse within our parks. And I feel pretty excited about Old Settlers with this band shelter, really giving us that catalyst to get to that next level of end user experience. We already have a beautiful beachfront area within Paddock Lake, off-leash dog exercise area, the reservable pavilion that gets converted over to a pop-up beer garden during a concert series. We have a band shelter not only for our park use with this concert series, but we already had a third party bring in a faith-based group to have their own concert there. So that's within the first few weeks of having this construction that we can already see the vision come into reality of how much more that's going to enhance this small little park, being Old Settlers Park, one of our smallest parks, but it's really packed with park amenities. And one thing that's truly missing over there is that Wi-Fi service, a broadband network, in order to have for that end user experience again. So very similar with what I talked about with Silver Lake, not to be redundant, but protecting our brand new facility over there, making sure people feel safe. And then also adapting to the Wi-Fi for people to integrate that and then be connected to our other events that our county invests heavily. And we're very creative as far as how much special events we have, but getting the word out there through the Wi-Fi and our mobile app and all these other devices, it ensures that if we're going to invest with the community, with that infrastructure and the special events, that we want people to come. And we've already seen that, but this is a further enhancement with that Old Settlers Park to give that end user experience that next level that we're looking for. And then we can build in the future as far as security cameras, point of sales, the concessions, and then as far as the reservable shelter. So there's a lot of amenities packed into this park, and that's where I feel strongly that broadband is just the next thing that would really enhance that user experience.
Would a system like that eventually be used for even helping people coordinate parking? So like Old Settlers has a limited amount of parking space. Would it be a big jump to do something where you could recognize whether there's parking still available? So we have a popular music event at Old Settlers, and you don't want everybody coming trying to turn in there when there's no more parking spots.
So I don't know as far as how we can do real time versus communication and operations. I haven't really looked into that. Maybe we can form a separate DOT committee to put a bridge over Highway 50 so that I can optimize parking on the other side. But in all reality, I hope with Highway 50 and the reconstruction over there that we do obviously have the north as much as the south end for parking. We have approximately, I think, about 200 available spots on the side where we have the dog park and the band shelter. But if we can have a safe crossing for families, especially on Highway 50, and I know no one goes 35, let's be honest. But it would be nice for the DOT to recognize that and to have a safe infrastructure going back for overflow parking. But as far as the use of the technology and having real time for our staff to react. I think the best thing that we have is we have really good community partners that are allowing us to have overflow parking next to the bank. The Village of Paddock Way, we've been working closely with, and they're allowing for parking on the side street as much as their village municipal building. So I think that's a primary for us for parking concerns. And then, yes, but we have cameras in the future to manage and see how things are in order for us to adapt differently for our special events. That, I think, would be useful to collect that data, maybe as like a post-event type of thing, but I can't promise anything as far as real time.
I know some people have already said that they have been gone to events because they're worried about whether there was going to be parking available to parking because of all the construction that's going on.
Correct.
And then they asked me, well, you know, up in Madison, and obviously those are closed structures, but you know, you can have an app in Madison that'll tell you if a parking lot is full or not, and if it's full, then you know you need to go find the next one, so.
So I can work with IT and see if there's anything that we could integrate. I just am not familiar with that technology, but I think it's a great idea. Any other questions with Old Southerners? All right, we can move on to Kemper Center. So Kemper Center, obviously a pristine 17.5 acre public park, county park, with historic properties within that campus. We have the Anderson Arts Center, as much as the Kemper Center outside. And it's a county park in collaboration with Kemper Center Inc. that manages some day-to-day activities, special events, reservable space, with their gymnasium, as much as the two floors of the conference center. We do have fiber that goes into the main Kemper Center, but we would like to enhance that opportunity to expand Wi-Fi service, especially on the outdoors where we currently have Wi-Fi capabilities. Because of the growth of special events, their Twilight Jazz concert series, we have a soccer field on the outdoor space. Kemper Center Inc. just has their Lakeside Lounge, where it's a special event closer to the northeastern side of Faulkner Building, that there's more and more opportunities for enhancement, not only with the end user with having Wi-Fi, but also, again, making sure that we can do have credit card transactions, point of sales, making it so it's a lot easier than just doing credit or cash instead. So there's a lot of benefits to enhancing broadband within the Kemper Center complex, both with Twilight Jazz on that southern portion of the lawn space, the community grass areas of the soccer field, and then again on the northern side. So by having an enhancement of broadband, one point in with the Anderson Arts Center, now we're able to have it on both sides of the 17.5 acre campus in order to be able to broaden our opportunities for Wi-Fi service within the entire complex, mainly in the entire complex. There'll be certain pockets where it's not really highly utilized that we want to focus that Wi-Fi service, but within the high impact zones on the outside, that would definitely assist us. And then same thing with Kemper Center, protecting our historic assets and being able to optimize cameras in the future or anything else is definitely a promising add-on now that we have a reliable service down there. That's all I've got.
In the information that Joe had sent out included some estimates on the actual cost of the project. Are you guys speaking standard or?
I would let Angie, if you want to go over more of the nuts and the bolts and the estimates, if you feel comfortable with that.
So we reached out to Mega Fiber, and so these are the initial costs. You know, and Matt said they're pretty tough, pretty broad estimates, but we do a fiber cost estimate for the Kemper project, which would include boring between Kemper and Anderson Center. So that's where the cost of the fiber kind of increases. It's going to be the integrity of the lane in between. And then we have some additional access points that would be added. So those are broken down based on the areas we left it on the map. We would be introducing external EPs as well as some, some kind of poles that would support those. So those are all itemized in area 1 and 2. and you can see those them as well on the map. We also have some enclosures that we would have to put in that are weather rated and keep our equipment safe. And you know, not impacted by the elements. So was there anything specific on area one or two based on cost?
I've got a question on the APs. Single year license or is that multiple years?
So that includes the cost of the EP and the license, so.
How many years?
That I believe it's a 3-year, I believe it's a 3-year license.
One, 3 or 5?
Yep, I'll have to double check on that for you. We just included it as a bundle with the EP and the license.
Yeah, they won't work without the license.
Exactly.
Do you ever bid out the multiple providers, the fiber work?
Agreement with fiber, so that's usually who we've been working with historically.
And then the other point, and it probably falls with these other ones, you're gonna do cameras, typically you hardwire those. Right, so all the cameras are wired.
Something to place, so we need the hardware equipment, meaning a switch or something that would, you know, be able to power the cameras. And so we would have a switch in place that gives power to the camera and those would be mounted as well. That's not included in here as much as they are.
Those will be PoE switches, correct?
Yes, correct.
I have a question on the county receptor. The city's doing fiber throughout the city. Is there any value in working with the city to get the fiber extended for the center or is that?
Well, we already have fiber at Kemper, so.
So it's just an expansion.
It's just an, yeah, extending the coverage and including it, you know, adding it to our infrastructure so that we could, you know, manage the APs, manage the cameras, all of that on, you know, the county system. And so we have the same for areas 3 and 4. We've included the external APs as well as any sort of tables and models, things like that to be able to support that infrastructure remotely. Usually, if we have them, we can only do a small PoE switch, and that would provide us power as well as connectivity back to the county infrastructure. Are there any other questions on Comfort? So moving on to Old Settlers, we have the same thing here where we would be expanding it where it was covered to the 3 designated areas on the map. We would be able to, for us, the fiber from Midwest Fiber runs right on Highway 50. So the run into the park is pretty minimal. We do have 2 different locations that we spec'd out or estimated with Midwest Fiber as to where to pull the fiber to. So it would be more ideal for us to pull it into the pavilion because we have more of the infrastructure there in place, but we then also get an alternate location in which then we'd have to add power and things like that. And so we have all the equipment similar to Kemper. We kind of use the same enclosures out there that are weather rated, as well as the switches, which, you know, adding a switch into the environment also includes licensing. So we have that all included in here because it comes as a package with a purchase switch.
You don't have anything for power protection? There's no UPSs?
Yes, we do have UPSs.
And that would be just under miscellaneous equipment then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Any other questions on that one? And I'm still the lights for the company. Locations where fiber could be two, and it's based on the map. So those are the individual costs that had fiber all throughout that area. We would have to pull it across trail to get the fiber in from the original handoff. So we have that noted on there as well. And then all of the equipment, it's the same type of equipment that, you know, we would use at the other parts. And this fortunately, this would also tie into the county environment, so be able to manage the cameras, you know, retain the data on our servers, things like that.
I'm not sure if I can direct this to Supervisor Bashaw or Patty, but from county money on this, do these projects need to be standalone so that the county tracks where its money went, or can, question was, can you reach out to the, I was going to say the host communities, to Panic Lake, to the Salem Lakes, and see whether or not these projects can enhance and be made? You know, if they can use, you know, if you bring fiber this far, could they hook onto it and go further and whatnot? Or does these type of projects need to stand alone?
Probably a combination answer. Some of these are standalone. Kemper is a center in and of itself. I didn't find pets on here. We already wired there. And how did we accomplish that?
That was a capital item, pretty sure, Sean, correct?
That was a capital project years ago. 2017, 2018 timeframe. That was quite a while back.
I'm going to ask a bunch of questions and come back to your question, Chair.
Absolutely.
I have a few questions.
Being that we're in budget season, many of these items budgetary, not other, but we as a panel or a committee commission would be making a recommendation to the exec to consider these for the next year budget, correct?
No, we already have one. Right now, there's $1.9 million that's been allocated to broadband expansion throughout the county. And all of the funding for this would come out of that, which has already been allocated. When we talk about the broadband, some of the or the ARPA funding specifically, some of the guardrails around that would be we need to have expended the money by the end of 2024, or we need to have contractually obligated to spend it by the end of 2024 with those obligated funds spent by the end of 2026. So these projects would fall under that. So it's already money that's approved. What we're asking the broadband committee here to do is to make the recommendation to the county executive, but she would have the ability to approve these projects to move forward. So just to kind of give a little bit of perspective as it relates to, you know, we're here and Matt spoke really terrific about all of the benefits that are provided by installing Wi-Fi in the areas. Another thing specifically related to broadband is one of the things that a lot of communities did to help, especially in rural areas, provide broadband access was installing it in public areas such as parks. That was one of the more common uses of those ARPA funds, common to anyone doing these kind of projects. And so when we were working through different projects, or we've been looking at broadband throughout the community, some of the things that we know that this helps, it provides an easily accessible place for people in the community to go and have broadband access. There aren't any barriers to gaining access to it. They don't have to go through something. It's frequently places that are easily accessible, and people would have a strong internet connection. So during COVID, when so many people were struggling with it, especially people that were going to school, I want to say I probably got a handful of phone calls from people in the community, and I know it was more than just this handful that experienced it, but when people were frustrated and asking how we could help, there wasn't a lot that we could do. We did recommend they go there, because even school districts that were providing air cards, you know, data air cards or something, some of them were limited on the bandwidth or the hours that they could be used because they had to manage costs, and having a public locations such as this where they could go and use it would have been a great resource during that time. So it's a great way to provide it. And the reality is, while we see our map, we still have a lot of pockets that don't have coverage, you know, for broadband throughout the community. This is something that we can do that immediately provides some options versus some of the long-term planning that's going to go in that this committee is going to be helping to guide. This provides some immediate access and relief for people who might need that type of access, in addition to everything that Matt shared.
Have we had an abundance of requests from public?
I don't know how to quantify an abundance during.
More than one.
Yes, absolutely. It's something that I would get phone calls on, and you know how people end up finding me. I don't always know how they found me, but during that period, I fielded, and I didn't track it, and I'm sorry I didn't. I know that it was more than 20 people that contacted me asking if I could help them get access to the internet. And I would call Charter, I'd call Midwest Fiber, I'd call Frontier, whoever I could, and ask if there is any way for them to extend, or wireless service providers as well. I know that Randy forwarded me probably 4 or 5 people in his community. I fielded calls from some people in Paris. I know there is one family not far from here, just across from waste management up there. Midwest Fiber had run fiber into their facility, the waste management facility. And these people were right across the street and they didn't have access, and Midwest Fiber was able to provide that access. So that, just to give, you know, I didn't record every phone call.
Randy, you do have a lot of call. You have Pringle and other outdoor areas, Old Set.
I haven't gotten any calls from the Pringle Nature Center since it's a county park. I'm assuming.
Yeah, but from people in the community, are people asking?
Not to my knowledge. They do ask about Hanson Park when the proper stage is there.
And is that more for the vendors or is it for the public?
The public that goes down there, they're like, well, asking for
free Wi-Fi.
Yeah, but it's not available.
Yeah.
In fact, very few cell phones actually work down there.
Okay, so there is a deficit.
Yeah.
Area.
Yeah.
And I recognize some of these areas have deficits. I have an older phone. It's an old six. So, and I use it at all of our parks that I do events in without any trouble. That's why I'm questioning the public need for open Wi-Fi. Is open Wi-Fi also has security questions and concerns and things like that? People worry about piggybacking and accessibility and other things. So I don't want to denigrate the argument or the directionality, but to me, the preeminent is more safety, security for our areas. That is all the other arguments that were made. COVID has passed. That's not, to me, an argument on the table.
Okay.
It's more about protecting our equipment, protecting our spaces, making sure that we can have security, et cetera. But then I get into the separation of the two, security versus user access, because cameras can't be a part of this. Do you have a CapEx expenditure already planned to gain the cameras?
Yes, that's part of the annual budget process. So the way
I don't recall seeing it. Are you planning to add it?
Yes, as our annual budget process goes for 2024, what we've put into, so the way IT runs our budget, we collect all the requests from across the county. Parks, golf, other places have put in all the requests for additional security cameras. We go through our process that gets presented to our steering committee in July, to the county executive in August, and then to the county board in October through the finance committee, and then again to the county board in November. So all of that goes through the regular process, and you would have visibility to all of that.
Yeah, but we also have a very large deck of prospective projects, and I didn't see anything in there on this. So this is a new need, newly identified need, basically.
It's an ongoing thing that this is just part of our annual. I'm not sure what list of projects you may have seen, but I'd be happy to share with you what
we have.
We're
a significant number of forecasted projects, so curious. I'll leave that for now because it's county business. Alternatives, phone lines, point to point, wireless hotspots, because polling service at all these locations, that to me is the cumbersome part, and that's really where I'm getting stuck, is we're paying to pull fiber to the facilities. I get it for Kemper. I think that's a great opportunity, and that's a lot of buildings, a lot of people that gather in a singular space. Getting out to Silver Lake, I think it's much more difficult in my mind. to consider pulling fiber into. So my questions go to thinking through more broadly, and now back to the chair's question. I think each of these are kind of severally, they need to be disassembled from an aggregate into individual recommendations. Because Kemper is one recommendation, I think it's, in my mind, it's very clearly recommended. And I think it's something that we should do. Old Settlers, I'm not sure why we need Wi-Fi in there. So 800 people there, and I didn't hear anybody having accessibility questions or anything like that. It's a very accessible, very ready, separate project in my mind. Moving over to Silver Lake, a completely different environment, point to point and equipment. That's why I say security. How do we protect people while they're in the park? That's really the focus. So in my mind, I think they separated the three settings. But I'll leave it there. And I touched around your question a little bit, but I didn't answer it.
Sorry, Sue, please.
I have three questions. My first one is related to finance. So the maintenance costs going forward when we do projects like this. So in years future, when the ARPA funds have been utilized, where will the maintenance fees come from? And have you thought about that?
The maintenance fees are... And I'm sorry, hefty can is just, it's a subjective term, just meaning what's hefty to some might not be to others. All I'm saying is that the cost for the implementation, we don't incur significant additional costs moving forward, because unless the fiber is damaged, we don't really have to pay for any maintenance on that. That's in the ground and it's already there. And then it becomes equipment maintenance, certainly. And then depending on the life cycle of the equipment, they'd have to be replaced. And then that would normally be handled through the county budget process, where we would submit as part of our overall life cycle management to replace those devices as needed. So like the license that was mentioned regarding the Meraki access points, that's something that would be paid for the first 3 years up front. If it is 3 years, it's what Angie mentioned, it's going to be 3 year, the 5 year option. We wouldn't have done the 1 year option. So I'm just saying, I don't view these as substantial maintenance fees. It's not hundreds of thousands of dollars that of maintenance fees ongoing or anything of that nature.
Okay. My other one is, what is the coverage currently for Brightondale Golf Course?
So at Brightondale Golf Course, we have Wi-Fi in the building, in the clubhouse, and it does cover some of the tee box area. But beyond that, we don't have Wi-Fi installed anywhere else in the golf course, other than like the maintenance building or something. We do not have Wi-Fi anywhere else out there.
Okay, and because that would be an opportunity for Brighton to maybe get some Wi-Fi coverage, and we need it. So that's why I'm asking that. And then the last one is, if you're looking at security, how about coverage at the lakefront area?
You mean Lake Michigan, right? All of that, really, the security stuff all ends up being a matter of going through the county board and getting the security cameras approved. So like at Kemper, someone asked about the fiber being run at Kemper. The reason that we're running fiber at Kemper is the integrity of the historic buildings, because it minimizes anything we'd have to put on the roof line or anything of that nature. If we change that plan and we were able to put something on there, that would reduce that cost. But then when it comes to installing cameras, we can absolutely be installing cameras. We just have to make sure that we observe anything historic, the requirements that would be associated with that. And Matt's going to know a lot more on the details of that, but we've got the ability to place security cameras at those locations, and that would be something we'd handle through the annual budget process, the county's annual budget process.
Matt had mentioned that better internet access would either allow or enhance vendors' use of swipe cards and whatnot. Watching the county board try to come up with funds for maintaining our infrastructure, do you think that improved Wi-Fi at the parks will you attract vendors who will be willing to pay fees to the system Is this a potentially a revenue enhancing project?
Absolutely. Yes, that's the new way that cash only just doesn't work. It's not a lot of, it's not feasible for a lot of businesses that don't have that as an option. It's a deterrent to gain those customers. So anything that we can do with our public infrastructure to entice third-party businesses, and we have been successful with that through the Pets Beer Garden being an example. And then also with Silver Lake Park, we have cellular infrastructure for providing Wi-Fi, but it's not up to the standard for all of the concessionaire, because they do have their own security cameras as much as their POS, our point of sale services, that they've already mentioned to us that it's not enough to run their cameras as much as their actual credit card and their transactions. So we're already seeing that in real time with what we already have with cellular based infrastructure that just doesn't have that proper bandwidth and the reliability, to be honest, to accommodate for our third party concessionaire. And the parks, with what we've done internally with our operations staff, you're exactly right, Mr. Chairman, is we have to put our best foot forward by redoing the actual concession room. We did new floors, the interior, the slop sink, the three compartment sink, in order to entice someone to want to be a vendor there. So we always have to put our best foot forward to make that as a reliable spot for them to vend. And now we have it is that they're giving back to our customers by buying those food and beverages. We're enhancing the beachfront experience, and now we're able to gain more revenue because we have that additional amenity. So it's a give and take that we have to have that infrastructure, both with the physical asset as much as the broadband or whatever else, in order to add value. And I do see that through other parks and those potential opportunities in the future, that if we build in that reliable broadband, there will be future opportunities to make those enhancements. And I think we've been very successful with public-private partnerships that way.
Would if the county board in I'm assuming the recommendation is goes to the county executive, who would then make recommendations to the county board. Is that how these funds would? I realize the funds have already been allocated, Sean, but the actual spending of them, is that the process would be that the county executive is going to, let's just say the committee recommends to the county executive that they fund Kemper Center project. What would be then the actual process for the funds to be released?
Patty, correct me if I'm wrong, but for this, it wouldn't need to go to the county board because the county board has already approved the funds to be used for this broadband.
Okay.
So the county board has already approved the dollars from the ARPA funds to be allocated for this purpose. There just was not a plan. So Sean was tasked with coming up with a plan. This commission was formed to help with that, to help to make sure that we're utilizing those funds in the best interest. That he mentioned the timeline, which I kind of want to just kind of make a caveat here. I don't want to go too far off to one side or the other, but recently you knew that there was issues at the federal level about the debt ceiling, and there was talk about clawing back unspent ARPA funds. That did not come down to our level. What I was hearing was if the federal government had given you those ARPA funds, they were already obligated, so they were talking about unobligated. However, in subsequent conversations, I've heard that our ARPA funds are protected through 2024. And even though if they're obligated by us to be spent by 26, those meet the rules of ARPA, there is a concern that that isn't sufficient for the federal government to not claw them back at that point. So there's been a recommendation coming through a couple of different outlets that we shouldn't be looking at obligating our funds by the end of 24. We should be looking at spending our funds by the end of 24. That's just kind of to keep in the back of your heads as we're working through this, that we might want to look at projects that can be accomplished in a shorter period of time. As far as the budget process, Sean is correct. The board has approved the purpose as long as the funds are being used for purposes of broadband. It has met the direction that the county board has approved. So it really does fall to the county executive to say, yes, this meets that criteria, and I believe this is in the best interest of the county, you can proceed. I'm sorry, I lost it.
It comes back through finance, doesn't it, because there is a ledger.
It doesn't come back through finance, but there, as they mentioned, there are two components here. We're talking about a broadband component that the board has approved. Cameras will come through Sean's budget if approved through the IT steering committee. I mean, there are a bunch of different layers that happen before it gets to the board. Supervisor Bashaw, you mentioned not seeing this. So when you look at the CIP, you see a lot of projects. You see every highway project, but what you see for IT is a line item with a dollar amount anticipated for each of the next 5 years. There's an attachment to the CIP for the current year and the previous year's projects, but there isn't a forecast out for the next 5 years because IT is so quickly turned over that there's like a bucket there that we anticipate will be part of the CIP going forward for each year, but the detail comes through in the current year. So you may not have seen the cameras identified.
Either project, so.
Points, questions? So, you know, I'm from the private sector, so we look at things maybe a little bit differently. And we always start with a needs assessment. And I don't know, I hear some subjective comments about a handful of users here and there. I'd really like to see what the demand for public Wi-Fi is. And I've been involved in projects over the years, and they never seem to live up to the expectations. I definitely can see the need for point of sale and, you know, security. But in reality, these things are working pretty good. And in all of the places that I'm responsible for, we have connectivity issues. We've worked with the cellular carriers and they enhance the coverage. They make the dead zones work better at their cost. So for vendor point of sales, for instance, absolutely, there's no reason why a good Wi-Fi connection to a POS device, a Square device or something can't work better. But, you know, to put public Wi-Fi in, are there any implementations in the county right now that have public Wi-Fi in any of the parks?
Yes.
At Fine Springs.
Do we know what the usage is? How many users?
260 users a day for the last 30 days.
Same people?
No, I don't know exactly. It's 260 unique per day for the last.
Okay.
So one person might have been there all day, but 260 unique users per day.
I kind of look at it like, you know, how many people have home phones yet? You know, that's going away because these things work so good. And I think we're going to see the coverage from a data perspective continue to get better. So it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when will it be to the point where it satisfies a lot of this. I guess that's basically what I had. So the needs assessment is important.
And you're heading down the same path that I was going down. If I expounded a little bit in my thinking, that's why Kemper to me makes perfect sense. It is a consolidated environment where we do have a lot of risk. I mean, we have great facilities, a lot of them, et cetera. It's a project that I don't have any question. I think it's a valid and valuable. And we also do a lot of vendor activity. The other locales I'm not as sold on. That's why I said we need to segregate them a little bit in my mind. So along that line, but I just spoke. Can I make a motion as well?
Oh, yeah, if you want to make this for consideration, yes.
Yeah, I would make a motion that we consider making a recommendation to the county executive to apply dedicated ARPA funds to the Kemper Wi-Fi expansion for the proposal provided. The others, I think, we need to discuss a little bit further.
A motion to make a recommendation on the Kemper Center alone. Is there a second to that? So we can discuss this. Is there a second?
I'll make a second because then that opens it for discussion. So I think that's important. Why is
that? Motion made in a second consider a recommendation to the county executive on just the Kemper Center. So discussion on that motion. I guess one question I have, Joe, here is we have it on the agenda as a discussion, not necessarily as an action item. I guess that's going to be one question.
Yeah, That's.
Ask that too.
That is a good question, and perhaps we need to. Perhaps we can't act today. We may need to recast that on a future agenda.
Motion can be utilized, however. Move it. I'm not moving something that's come to us. I'm making a motion to make a recommendation. Would be my understanding. I mean, you guys are chairs, you know.
And normally, I'm saying that it's absolute, but on our agendas, discussion means that it will only be discussion, that no action will be taken, and that action has to be noticed so that the public knows that there's going to be an intent. So that would be my.
Along with the usage that you talked about, I think we also have to be. Yeah, right in the homes that bent for internet, and we couldn't do anything. So I think not only can we look at the park system, which I understand your need. One of the reasons I asked about Brightonville, those homes have no choice. Our town hall has awful service. You can comment on it. It's next to Brightonville, right? Terrible service.
Horrible.
It's a town hall. The school is right next to that. So I think we have to look at a bigger picture as we look at where we should invest our ARPA dollars.
School does have a fiber line.
It does have a fiber line.
Right, by the state. Steve listed. But you didn't pay the fraction any of it off in the town hall, which is late.
Well, I guess right now, do we want to focus on this particular motion, or the what Sue is bringing up is part of the larger discussion I think this committee has to have, but it isn't pertaining necessarily to the motion that we have on.
Correct, but this committee is here to make recommendations to the exact as to how to utilize her funds, et cetera. So basically, it's a recommendation to the executive regarding a proposed project that could be moved forward. And Sue's point, that's why I think there's a rational discussion around why we should separate these into separate projects, because there are some ancillary characteristics. Silver Lake, not sure pulling wire all the way through there is the best use of our funds, but I'd like to understand that project differently. And similar to the band shell in Paddock Lake, it's a less expensive 48,000. But that project starts to be differently. I'd like to discuss it separately as well.
Matt, from the Parks Department standpoint, as we look at these projects as separate projects, is there a hierarchy in need or desire on many of the projects?
Absolutely. I appreciate you asking. In my opinion, I agree with Supervisor Patchon or Kemper in the utilization, but I also agree with the statements made by several members of the committee that how I personally view public Wi-Fi to the nice add-ons. But from my standpoint, it's about safety and security and protecting our assets, especially the new infrastructure. And there's no other way to do that with either cellular, data, the system. But last year, in 2022 going into 2023, we had excessive damage over at Silver Lake Park. And it stressed out our minimal staff full-time that we have on the western end to manage and maintain off-road truckers, turf damage, going into our beachfront area that we try to keep pristine for our end users. That's truly my purpose of putting this in front of the committee, and Silver Lake being such a high-impact, high-utilized area with no measures to have license plate recognition, no cameras within our critical assets and infrastructure. That's top dog to me. We got to protect that. We got to have that at the turn for our local high school kids. No offense to them, but they sometimes get bored and want to go to our local parks and be destructive. that can't happen anymore, because that's gonna waste taxpayer dollars, and we're not putting in our staff resources to add value, or just there to fix things that go wrong. So the infrastructure of broadband, in my point of view, if I only had one option out of the three, it definitely would be Silver Lake, just because we've seen the most damage, we've seen the most shenanigans over there over the last several years. And it's adding up, we're tracking that, I forget what was on the port, for as far as the dollar value. Yeah, it's on the tap kit, but we tracked it with our operations, and it's, I think, over 10,000 or so. So it adds up, and it's not gonna stop, unfortunately. We work closely with the sheriffs, and they're out there whenever they can, but not unless we have that infrastructure for the broadband. We can't get to that next step to put in front of the county board for the cameras, and to make sure that people are aware that if they do harm to the public resources, we're gonna find you. And we already have, you know, some ways of doing that, and we were actually in the parking lots looking for trucks that have, you know, turf on them in order to find these vehicles. But it sure would be nice just to have a license plate right there, call it in, and nip that in the bud, and these kids talk, and they'll never do it again. So in my mind, it is really safety, security, protecting critical infrastructure, especially the millions of dollars that have been invested into our parks or our community. If we get a nice add-on as far as public Wi-Fi, and also to benefit future businesses for public-private partnerships, that's all a bonus as well, but it's really about safety, security, and checking assets at the outset. So I hope that directly answers your question.
But then the other question I had on Silver Lake is that we understand on the Kemper, they need to do fiber to aesthetically, primarily historical and aesthetically. On Silver Lake, knowing the terrain and obviously the fact that it is heavily wooded, is that is that lending itself why we need to use fiber more there as opposed to doing a fixed wireless, you know, fiber to a fixed wireless?
I think Sean can answer that question more direct.
Yes, is the easy answer. So we actually have a tower out there, a public safety tower that's 199 feet tall. I think that's the height of it, right, Matt? So we use the data to find what would be the connection from the highest point. We could place it on there down to the beach house, and there was too much foliage in between. We have tried, when we first did Petrifying Springs, instead of putting in fiber, we tried a wireless network that was a 900 megahertz network that was supposed to penetrate foliage better. The reality is, it's too dense. Water is a huge barrier to Wi-Fi signals or to that kind of wireless signal, and leaves are full of water. That's what they are. So that was a constant challenge. So knowing what we've already faced with that, that's why we went the route of putting fiber in throughout that park, because even just getting down to the beach house, which we thought would be the easiest reach, we couldn't get there. So then some of the other areas that are identified, we would not have been able to reach those either, because they didn't even have as high a point or, you know, as much distance as the beach house would have. And one thing worth noting, it's not germane to broadband specifically, but with that public safety tower, that provides public safety network communications, and those are connected wirelessly with a microwave from that tower to the tower 4550. And by connecting Silver Lake, that provides a redundant link for that public safety tower. And again, it's not specific to broadband aspect of it, but it is another benefit. And I did wanna just toss in one more thing, because there was some conversation about who would use it, and you know that cell phones work already. I will say I was at the walkthrough at Silver Lake, and my cell phone didn't work in most of the locations where we were standing, because I have AT&T. I don't know who has what. AT&T works different than Verizon, which works different than T-Mobile. You know, but really, you know, a lot of them are the same, and then Verizon is a little bit different. So I had my personal AT&T phone, and I had the Verizon phone. Some areas the Verizon would be a little bit better, but most of the places, it's a fairly weak signal at best. And one other aspect that doesn't always get talked about enough, and I think the school districts and certainly building our future probably could help us get some data. The reality is, I have a great job and I have terrific cell phone service. Not everyone does. There is a lot of economic disparity that does exist within the county, and people that without the same economic means do not have the same unlimited data plan where they can go and use their data all day, every day. They do take advantage of these type of resources, this free Wi-Fi. So I just wanted to point out that that is an aspect of broadband, these broadband funds, and the intent is to help address some of those challenges as well. So I want to share that as it's an important aspect of this, that, and the reality is you don't always get calls from those people. People don't want to call and say, I just don't have the money to connect.
So some clarification questions that I have. So the money's already been identified and allocated for the Olympics, and this would be more of a door saying the fines are already for the county, except she seemed just fine on her own, being any number of these or the whole package, correct?
I believe so.
And whether we have action on here or not, she can still proceed. I completely agree with you that there's great disparity with some of the economic resources that we have. And trying to make these identified areas a better experience for any type of users. You developed this proposal. This is your recommendation, your team's recommendation. Proceed with these.
Me and IT and Parks work together. Yes.
Did we have electrical at all of these locations? Correct.
Yes.
Did we do a study before we put electrical out there?
No.
Okay. Do we have restrooms at all these locations?
Yes.
Did we do a need study?
I would say no.
Both of those components to improve the user experience for anybody going out there. And I completely agree that most people aren't going to call first. They're going to realize, hey, there's electrical out there. I can take advantage of it. There's grilling places out there and opportunities for me to experience and enjoy this better. Representing or speaking on behalf of the, the Kenosha Unified School District, the amount of opportunities that could be utilized and enhanced in any number of curriculum areas by having accessible Wi-Fi out there, an environment that, I'm sorry, we don't wait around for the cell phone companies to improve their signals. It is spotty all over the place. And to be at their mercy or at the behest of when they want to make commercial or business related decisions isn't in the best interest of the community. I think that if the funds are already allocated and your team has endorsed this and promoted this as the quality project plan, I'm more in favor of that. I get that there are priorities, and whether it's Kemp Center first or Silver Lake, but I think every one of these locations would benefit from the plan as presented.
I'm just kind of want to add on to that. Right, I think as presented, it's worthwhile. I think a lot of times out west, it's more rural, further apart, lot more to do things, hard to get business to come in and do anything out there. And this is a great way to, if it's anything to do with security, I understand, high schoolers maybe causing some of the issue. It's not all high schoolers, but there are a number of high schoolers and teams and sports that utilize these areas. And it would be nice to have cameras and have a little bit better sense of security if the teenagers are out there running. There's not always parents around. The coach can't follow every single kid around. So this is a nice security enhancement. Public Wi-Fi definitely was an issue during the pandemic. I understand there's not a pandemic right now, but there's not to say there's not snow days or other days where the school is closed. People don't all have unlimited data. So I agree with all of those points. And it is a way for this broadband to get to communities that's not there. And then perhaps next steps, or perhaps that will entice other businesses to expand from there to areas that need it. So these ARPA funds, instead of trying to pick different communities, different municipalities, I think as presented is a great plan that touches east and west in different areas where a large percentage of the county would benefit from this.
Also, comments from Brian?
A couple other questions on the security side and to the school side. I already recognize that and I appreciate that. my focus is more on, are there other methods to install infrastructure? So, because this is hardline infrastructure versus other alternatives. To the security side, being that this is really two motions or two separate budget items, the second budget item has to come through from the exec to acquire the funds for the cameras, which is a timing question. So, sorry, Matt, but your argument in my mind fails a little bit because of the timing. This is a project, that's a project, but they have to work together. So we don't have to address all the locations today as much.
You asked him what his priority was and he told you.
Yeah, I know.
What's the timeline if any one of these are?
The budget, well, this.
Not the cameras, but for the.
This could happen and move forward as soon as the exec approved allocation of the funds, then they could go start bidding and contract for work.
But we have estimated timelines for carrying up twice the installation.
If we're able to gain approval to move forward, our plan is to start all of the projects after Labor Day when usage of, you know, because we don't want to disrupt the parks while they're at their highest usage, so that we can get all of this completed with the knowledge that we're putting forward a number of security related projects through the annual budget process, which gets approved in November. And then we could begin the projects early in spring so that it's in place before next year's season of high utilization. So from a timing perspective, it was planned out and thought of in this way.
So to continue my question then, what is the budget ask for the other equipment?
I can get you all those numbers. I don't have those off the top of my head. Angie's team has been working on putting together the exact numbers, but there's, we'll get you that information if you'd like to know, but it also will come forward as part of the budget process, itemized throughout. So we absolutely will be sharing all of that also.
So it's an incomplete project cost at this point?
No, I don't believe so. I would disagree. It's a complete proposal that would install the Wi-Fi. The security aspects are separate. That would be a separate project that we would install next year. But this is a complete project in that it will provide and deliver the Wi-Fi and broadband access for the community.
My point is, as the exec, I would want to understand what the complete project impact is, not one component of it. So you should pull that data.
We have, I can work on pulling it now. That would help. We've got the preliminary numbers. I mean, we just would normally work it through the annual budget process, but we can work on getting those.
And Sean, on these sheets that you've shared with us, at the top being project total is the estimated for the data that you have now of the broadband portion of this, so that we're looking at these three projects of just roughly maybe about $300,000. Is that approximately?
Yes, sir.
Of the $880,000 that the executive has to work with right now.
Yes. But I want to be very transparent on that. We talked about $800,000 in this committee. Right now, there's 1.9 million or about 1.9 million remaining that was allocated for broadband.
But the 800 is at the discretion of the county executive. The balance of that, though, would still be the purview of the county board, or has all of that money been put in the discretion of the county executive?
This is all allocated.
Okay. Well, I guess what I'm saying is that I don't want to be foolish, but at the same time, the money is I'm going to say is there to be spent. It's not that we should be.
Yeah, we don't have to create it.
Yeah. Well, where is the committee as far as being comfortable with? We do have a motion on the floor. Are we comfortable on taking a vote on this, or would the we prefer to table this motion until next month and have this You know, have the, it noticed, or are we comfortable putting it forward? And if Corp Counsel says no, it needs to be done differently, we can take it back up again next month, or?
Would the rest of the information be available by the next month's meeting?
We can present it, yes.
Good question. Sounds like you're pretty close to having that, so.
You could, and you know, we kind of were suffering from not having a chair here too in assembling this agenda. If you so choose, you could break these into separate agenda items even for the next agenda if you wanted to separate the projects.
For the sake of where we're at, I would withdraw the motion, allow this as long as Sean, do you think next month is fine, or do we really need more movement now?
No, we've been working on this for the better part of the last 6 months, so we've got the, we'll be able to finalize all the information.
And then you can give the exact heads up that we're probably bringing motions.
Absolutely.
Motion to table, pending additional information to be taken up at our next meeting.
Motion's been made second to table the item number five along with the, I guess we did not.
I withdrew.
You withdrew, okay, so we will table this for further on. Is there any further discussion on the motion, which is to table? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye, opposed, carry. Good, thank you. The Matt, this, I was just saying, this may have enough information, but you know, for a direction, but then number six was discussion of formation of working groups. I think we had talked about this earlier on, was do people, are people comfortable meeting together as a big group on everything, or do we want to consider breaking down some of the working groups and identify particular projects that maybe three or four people would meet on, specifically if we wanted to talk about are there areas specific to education, are there areas specific to private enterprise, are there things particular to municipalities. One of the areas that I guess I have a question on here, Joe, is that this committee is primarily directed by the county executive to make recommendations on the use of the ARPA money. Is this committee, can we make suggestions on other areas of for financing, or do you think that the county executive wants us just to focus on the ARPA?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the executive would be open to recommendations outside of ARPA as well, anything related to this issue.
My understanding is she's looking for insights, recommendations specific to broadband and how we can improve it for the community. So yeah. Can I ask a different question? So with formation of working groups in 4, 5, 7, to me, schools and education are a working group that is has very specific interests. Business and whatnot have very specific interests. Rural and public interest is another, in my mind, category. And then one that's in my mind is medical or development corridor. It's one aspect I don't think I've heard anybody in the county talking about with regard to broadband, is if we had a corridor that's developed that is high speed, we can bring more technical type aspects or business opportunities to the county as well. We have Microsoft going in now in Racine, and great relationship with them. They're going to do great things, but are there opportunities for us to explore other ways to utilize broadband for development? So to me, I think working groups are an advisable component. Those are just four off the top of my head.
I guess that the other part to put in here is obviously working groups are going to be meeting separately, and so that it would be additional time requirements, and do people feel that you have availability? Those meetings are probably done by Zoom or whatnot, but anyway, you know, we can set them up, but if people don't have time to contribute to them, they aren't gonna achieve anything, so. I guess what I would suggest over here is that if by next month, if people would identify an area that they think a working group might work for, and whether or not they would be willing to serve on a working group, would probably be the best way to go forward. I have some, because of what the town of Paris has been doing and trying to finance our own project here, I guess I have some background now on the finance part of it. And so I would suggest that we have a financing working group that I would be interested in being part of.
Okay. Would the categories that Supervisor Bashaw mentioned along with finance be maybe some good suggested starting points that I could send out as a poll to the committee, and then people could also feel free to suggest others that we may have missed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because there may be areas that there's a need for that you know, nobody's brought it up to me and I'm not aware of it, but the medical one is one that Brian and I have discussed in the past, where it might not affect any other community, but the corridor is the area where that hits its most potential.
Yeah, it's border to border, basically, from Beeline all the way up.
Okay. Then number seven, establish regular meeting time to move forward. We had originally started with the, was it the first or second?
I think it was the second Thursday, and then this one became an outlier due to some people's schedules, including my own. And really, that's obviously your prerogative to set something going forward.
Go back to how we originally had it scheduled. Yeah, that was kind of a unique one, why we had a jump. But did that generally work for people initially, or? Okay, then Joel, let's go. We'll establish as we originally had.
Second Thursday of the month, 10 a.m. In this building. Do people have a preference on this room versus the larger room?
It's going to depend on topic of interest. BDEC, we start with education extension over here, but we have meeting hall for large subjects like gravel pits.
I like the smaller square for discussion.
I think this is an easier place to have a discussion, but so I'm inclined to make this the default, but if we have a presentation or we expect a larger group of people, we'll jump over there. Thank you.
Thank you for bringing up about future presentations or agenda items.
I don't know when you were discussing, but I'm wondering, Sean, as you put together the information that you've been asked, if there, I'm going back to a little bit of what Margaret said too, if there is, you identify opportunities for a community to benefit as you run to Silver Lake, right? Is there an opportunity along the way for perhaps another hookup or a community to help or something like that? I think that would really be helpful to us in the rural location to learn more about that.
Absolutely. If we pull it from Pine Bear, but yes.
Yeah, and it will enhance the want for Silver Lake to be done, because you know, because people are going to get help besides the ones that go to Silver Lake.
There's actually two different components. Is that you can if there is a hub, if they pull the main fiber to a located, let's say, an intersection, is that you can do some, a fiber company can do, provider can do some immediate surrounding areas close by, because they pulled the fiber that far, But from that point on, and I'm talking about rural areas, is it comes down to a cost of how much it costs to get to the next house. And that ultimately, if you can bring a trunk out to a point, because the town of Paris had a Midwest Fiber had one of their hubs in the town of Paris, but it was not economical for them to go anywhere from it. It was just a bypass.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until we identified how we were going to finance that next mile that it happened. So.
And I think that's a key point, and I understand that. But for Randy and you and I, at least we can tell people, because they'll say, what are you doing? Well, we've investigated this and it's so expensive. You know, at least then we can go back to our residents and say, we thought about you and it's still too expensive, or maybe there's an opportunity. I think that's important. But we won't get everything we want here, but at least we'll get some answers. And maybe we'll get some things we want, but we'll also get some answers to give to people so that they understand.
Right. Also find opportunities for allocation of resources or direction, because it is a rural broadband project.
And Mike, from a business person's standpoint, I know quite often we just rely on private enterprise to solve their own problems. But as you listen to what we are talking about, primarily from a public standpoint, are there any thoughts that jump to your mind as to areas that, you know, what Supervisor Bashaw and I have talked about is whether or not you could enhance medical development, but I'd be interested in your thoughts.
Yeah, so typically the providers will come to you because of the service levels that you'll subscribe to. So it has not been an issue in Kenosha, Pleasant Prairie, any of the areas in southeastern Wisconsin for us to get multiple providers to come in with 10 gigabit or more service. And typically there's some construction cost, but it's not much because they will roll some of that construction into the service that's going to go on for 10 years. The other thing, and from a medical standpoint, but well, let me back up. I think the one area where we struggle the most is attracting talent and having the people that want to spend more time working from home have adequate coverage. So that's probably our biggest concern. But normally our facilities are in prime corridors where there's plenty of providers. We have three or four providers at almost every location. And I think you'd find the same thing in the medical space. If somebody was going to put a large medical facility in, they're probably going to be in a prime corridor. They're going to be in a business park. There'll be some place where you've got significant capacity. The rural, I think, is where the issue is. And this county seems to have two sides to it, right? You've got kind of the east where there's a lot more coverage. And then you go out west. I was just looking at coverage maps from cellular, and there's definitely some spotty areas. But that's all based on where they make their money. If there's nobody there, they're not going to make money. They're not going to deploy the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So from a business standpoint, it doesn't really affect us a lot. We can pressure and buy and do what we need to get the capacity. Smaller enterprise, maybe not so much. You know, if you're attracting mid to small size companies, there might be some advantage there. That would be my opinion.
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
Horses and cows don't need access.
Well, some farms do. Get Elon Musk for that, right?
I was just going to say that it might be a good time to start inviting some of the carriers that are providing residential services, start having them maybe have one come each meeting over the rest of the year or something. I mean, between Charter, Midwest Fiber, AT&T is a little less easy to get a hold of, but we have direct contacts with the other two and Frontier. I think it would be a good time to start maybe just asking them to come in, maybe tell them you've only got 30 minutes or whatever, put some time around it, but it might be a good time to start bringing them in so they can start talking about, because you're talking about how do you improve, and they're going to be able to tell you more about their networks. The only one that shares their network where their fiber is at is Midwest Fiber. Frontier isn't going to give it to us. And I know that's been a hot topic for this group, but they're just not going to give us their network map. Neither is Frontier, but Midwest Fiber does. And Charter will come and they'll talk more about it. They'll speak to it. So would Frontier. So I was just it might be a good time to start having them come in and talking about what their plans are in the area. Frontier can share more about, you know, more detail than I can about how they're planning to overlay their existing network with fiber to the home, where they have phone service. And Midwest can talk about their hopes to expand in Kenosha County, just different things like that.
I agree with you, Sean. I have reached out to, and Margaret has been my point of contact with Charter, and all of them are very afraid of coming to be for a group like this and sharing a lot of what their plans are, because they feel they're giving away competitive advantage. So, but I think they would be willing to come in and talk to us about what their challenges are and where the county and the local municipalities might help them take those steps. And is that useful to this group? Because that would address, Sue, that would help you be able to go back to residents and say, we've heard from this, and this is what the challenges are.
I like the idea of time. Keep them short.
Okay.
You know, they can come in, say your piece, and help people, because they can drag it on, and we have work to do.
I would echo, that's my number one on my list, providers. I wanted to hear from them, understand where they're at. And I live in Brighton, so we're the number one deficit in the county.
Oh, wonderful.
The second, I'd like to hear more about business needs and the school's needs. So we have education on that, and we understand what those are as well. Community needs would probably be important for us as well. You bring insights that we may or may not have. And the other is from the county. This is infrastructure. So I keep writing the same note every time, but what ordinances or modifications and zoning and building codes do we need to put in place to help us? And we have a lot of secure data that comes into the county. That could be secure data, but we need to understand where infrastructure lies and how it impacts the county. So we may have to look at other things there. On the
school side, Commissioner Jack, or for the Unified, are both of you using the Wisconsin school, I don't know, is Badger Net, or?
Yes.
Is that what you use? Is Unified on its own, or did you subscribe into that as well, or?
WISNet.
WISNet. And WISNet is the same?
Yeah.
Okay.
WISNet's different than BadgerNet, just so you guys know. The BadgerNet is something that the state has contracted with AT&T, and then AT&T subcontracts to provide connectivity to anyone who asks for it. That's their commitment, is they'll make sure connectivity gets out there. WISNet, like KUSD uses, is a non-public cooperative, membership driven. It was started by the University of Wisconsin, and then years ago, when there was a lot of privatization that went on, they got kicked out of the universities, the University of Wisconsin, but they still exist in tons of universities, school districts. School districts are there, or, you know, education is where they are, but they provide internet access. You have to connect to them, though. So the county uses WISNet as well. And you have to get your fiber to somewhere where they've got a connection. But then once you get there, they provide high level access for a very low cost. And
but what I was trying to understand is, do schools have to work with it? I know that their AT&T got the state contract to provide, and they were providing it to schools only.
Municipalities as well, BadgerNet one, there is just costs to it.
So that if it might be possible that somebody else might come in, but they would either need to match the price that you're getting from BadgerNet or whatever to make it worthwhile for them to switch.
I would have to get more information about that. I mean, I know the high level of BadgerNet. We could probably have the state come in and talk about exactly what all BadgerNet can do. And then separately, we could have WISNet come down and talk as well, because especially when you're talking about the municipalities, the school districts. When you talk about, hey, where is their existing infrastructure and how can we get connected? That's opportunities for all of those organizations to get better connectivity. And WISNet, one of the biggest things that they do is they're all about community partnerships. So that is one of their strengths.
Then, well, it's an area that I'm going to want to learn about more as well. So we're bumping up against our timeframe here. Does anyone else have something they wanted to bring up here?
Just a question about timeframe. What would you like me to schedule for the next meeting, for example? Hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, 8 hours?
Do people have an hour and a half to give here, or is this stretching your timeframes?
You know.
Okay, then let's do the hour and a half.
Sounds good.
And if
motion to adjourn.
Yeah, adjourn from Brian, is there a second?
Aye.
Thank you very much for coming through. Thank you.
So, Mr. Sir.